ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। This morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 8, entitled "The Lord Slays the King of the Demons." Text 10. Dasyon Puram San Nam Vijitam Lumpatom Manyantam Eke Svajitam Disho Dasham Jitatmanom Yasyam Tamasyam Dehinam Sadhom Svamoham Prabhavaham Kutam Parem Dasyun Purasana Vijitalam Patom Dasyun Purasana Vijitalam Patom Manyanta Eke Svajita Dishodasham Manyanta Eke Svajita Dishodasham Jitatmano Gyasa Samasya Dehinam Jitatmano Gyasa Samasya Dehinam Sado Svamoha Prabhava Kutapare Sado Svamoha Prabhava Kutapare Dasyun Purasana Vijitalum Patom Manyata Eke Svajita Dishodasham Jitatmano Gyasa Samasya Dehinam Sado Samoha Prabhava Kutapare Dasyun Purasana Vijitalum Patom Manyanta Eke Svajita Dishodasham Jitatmano Jagyasa Samasya Dehinam Sado Samoha Prabhava Kutapare
Thank you.
Mataji? Chitatmano gyasya samasya dehinam tado svamoha prabhavakuta pare. Dasyun plunderers puram in the beginning sat six na not vijitya conquering lumpata stealing all one's possessions manyate consider eke som svajita conquered disha dasha the ten directions. Jita Atmanam, one who has conquered the senses. Gyasya, learned. Samasya, equipoised. Dehinam, to all living entities. Sadoho, of such a saintly person. Svamoha Prabhava, created by one's own illusion. Kuta, where? Pare, enemies or opposing elements. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. In the former times, there were many fools like you who did not conquer the six enemies that steal away the wealth of the body. These fools were very proud, thinking, I have conquered all enemies in all the ten directions. But if a person is victorious over the six enemies and is equipoised towards all living entities, for him there are no enemies. Enemies merely imagined by one in ignorance. Purport. In this material world, everyone thinks that he has conquered his enemies, not understanding that his enemies are his uncontrolled mind and five senses. Manas shastra nindriyani prakritistani karshati. In this material world, everyone has become a servant of the senses. Originally, everyone is a servant of Krishna. But in ignorance, one forgets this, and thus one is engaged in the service of Maya through lusty desires, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and jealousy. Everyone is actually dependent on the reactions of material laws, but still one thinks himself independent and thinks that he has conquered all directions. In conclusion, one who thinks that he has many enemies is an ignorant man, whereas one who is in Krishna consciousness knows that there are no enemies but those within oneself, the uncontrolled mind and senses. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaham. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschatyade Shatarine Jayo Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasari Gauravaktavrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Tasyun purasana vijita lumpato manyanta eka svajita dishodasha jitatmano jyasya samasya dehinam sadosa moha prabhava kutapare. In the former times, there were many fools like you who did not conquer the six enemies that steal away the wealth of the body. These fools were very proud, thinking, I have conquered all enemies in all the 10 directions. But if a person is victorious over the 6 enemies and is equipoised towards all living entities, for him there are no enemies. Enemies are merely imagined by one in ignorance. So here we have Prahlad Maharaj instructing his father about the nature of material affairs and different relationships that are created due to one's conditioned nature. In essence, it's practically unacceptable that a son instructs his father. Even though this might be the most beneficial instruction, it is just psychologically very difficult to even conceive of it. And very often we do have such kind of realizations when we deal with our superiors, and especially when that is the case with the parents. Once there was one conversation between Srila Prabhupada and mother of Hridayananda Maharaj, and he was glorifying, Srila Prabhupada was glorifying Hridayananda Maharaj, how he's very nice devotee, nice boy who had dedicated his life for such an exalted purpose, to dedicate his life to Krishna consciousness. And he was explaining to his mother actually how whatever he is presenting, that it's something worthy of appreciating. And he gave several examples. Amongst those was the one with Prahlad Maharaj, that how also sometimes there can be a case where a son can instruct a parent. Because otherwise, in any ordinary dealings, it is just unacceptable for somebody who has been around, so to say, for so many years and having so much experience about a life, that and somebody who has been teaching even his dependents, that in some kind of occasion, that somebody who is dependent instructs, you know, person who is superior to him. So this is psychologically absolutely unacceptable, and it is very, very difficult. In many cases, when somebody takes to the spiritual life and then he goes back home, in essence, it never works that person presents anything regarding to Krishna consciousness to their parents. It is just very difficult for parents to accept anything on the philosophical basis. Even though it may sound very logical in any kind of way, it is just unacceptable, because even though they might be hearing, they're not really listening, they're not really appreciating. Because consciously and subconsciously, in both ways, they're just seeing their own child whom they have raised and whom they have taught what a life is and how to lead a life. And now that same child is trying to instruct me about how am I supposed to lead my life, or how are they supposed to lead their life. It is just inconceivable. It's very difficult. It's almost impossible to accept. This is why most often when the devotees visit home, then some other devotee comes along and that devotee presents the situation and the philosophy and everything else. And then parents can mostly relate to it. Then they can accept. But definitely they cannot accept it from somebody whom they have raised and for whom they have planned the whole life. They already have lined up so many things for their children. You know, what they will do, what they have to accomplish, whom they have to marry, and what will happen afterwards. Everything is already pre-planned. So now if that comes to a halt or becomes disturbed in any way, in their consciousness, in their mind, it is absolutely unacceptable. So it is very difficult to therefore instruct anybody who is senior. Therefore, in Vedic culture, there is an etiquette that should never also be the case. Sometimes into certain situations, due to the effect of the circumstance, definitely we may speak so many things. But in essence, we should understand whenever we speak to somebody who is superior to us, that will not have any kind of effect. Actually, it will just worsen the condition. Even though we might be right, but still we are wrong because we are trying to instruct somebody who is superior in any way. Even though we might be completely right about anything. So it is just not the etiquette. As well, it's psychologically, as I said, it's just not acceptable. So even in this case, we can see that Prahlad Maharaj is instructing his father, Hiranyakashipu. He's giving him the most beneficial instruction. He's revealing all the essence of the devotional service. And he's telling him to surrender to the Supreme Absolute Personality of Godhead. But even though he's giving him the good instruction, like Chanakya Pandit said, if you instruct a fool, this is like feeding milk to a snake. It just worsens the condition. So it's better not to instruct, actually, in many ways. Of course, Srimad Bhagavatam has been spoken for all of us. So it is not just for Hiranyakashipu. So whenever such kind of instructions are given, they are definitely the most beneficial, but we have to see the person to whom we are trying to relate and which we are trying to instruct. And most often that kind of a person may very often misuse this kind of information that we are giving in so many different ways because their mind is not ready. Their mind is not ripe to accept good advice. Therefore, the Vedic scripture point out that relationship between guru and disciple, and especially when we talk about very confidential matter, it has to be given to one who is qualified. Then that instruction will have the effect. But when somebody is in angry mood, somebody who is agitated in some way, somebody who is having that demoniac mentality, then a good instruction will be of no use. It will just create even more disturbance and it will agitate that person. Therefore, Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, he points out that actually we shouldn't disturb those kind of people by presenting them some higher knowledge. So now we may question, then how do we benefit them? How do we, elevate them from such kind of demonic condition? So in essence, this is what Krishna is saying, because if we disturb such kind of people, then they can create more disturbance even. There are so many cases in Sankirtan, for example, when we meet some demonic personalities and they try to prevent us from, say, distributing books. And the worst thing is if we try to get into argument with them over something and we try to instruct them. This is the worst thing. It just definitely, in so many cases, it happens that it has no effect. But actually it has the contrary effect. So when we see somebody who is inimical, actually, even, or somebody who is just not ready to support in any way, it's better to avoid such persons. It's better to avoid. Somehow by chanting Hare Krishna, somehow in some indirect way, definitely they will benefit. Or even worse, actually, what we can do is that we agitate them even more and then they will commit even more offenses. Not just towards the holy name, towards the books, but then towards ourselves as well. And instead of helping them, we are actually, you know, degrading them even further. So in terms of preaching and presenting Krishna consciousness, we have to be, again, very sensitive. How do we deal with such kind of demonic personalities? Because here, what Prahlada Maharaj says is that there are no enemies. There are no friends. This is all mental concoction. So when we go out and preach, and somebody disturbs, I know so many times when so many times we had difficulties when I would go out for book distribution earlier, go door to door or something, then you come across some watchman with a stick and he doesn't allow you in the society or the house or this and that. You would see them as the enemy. Because of course on the Madhyam platform you distinguish between those who are demoniac, inimical, those who are friendly, who are devotees, and those who are innocent. That level definitely is there. So then, how to understand this particular situation and how to deal in such kind of situations? Of course, very often we do get somehow agitated, you know, thinking that who is this person disturbing the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? How can he dare so? So it is not easy to immediately judge how to react in an appropriate manner. So we have to use our intelligence somehow and experience at a given moment and see what would be the best way to somehow reach those who are conditioned and surpass somehow those who are creating an obstacle to reach those who to whom we can present Krishna consciousness. One thing is the essential, that if we create a great disturbance, then that person will definitely become even worse enemy. There are many cases that we know that were very big cases, like in the France, many years back it happened that some position, that the person on a very high political position has visited a temple and was not treated well, for whichever reason. There was some philosophical dispute. And that very same person created so many obstacles for the devotees that till nowadays the situation has not been recovered practically. It's almost 20 years. So it's a very serious. Of course, now devotees can go. Before, even all the properties would have been seized practically almost. Devotees were forbidden to preach, go out, do Harinam, do so many things. Just actually because there was some ego clash as well. And the person who was the leading person couldn't really control his mind. Another thing which Prahlada Maharaj mentions here, that's really our enemy. So then the whole difficulty for the whole preaching movement and so many devotees have been created in such a way. So can we say this person now, when we look from this point of view, that Prahlada Maharaj is explaining to Hiranyakashipu that there are no friends, there are no enemies, that what would we think, that what about those then who create such kind of obstacle for the preaching movement? How do we view them? How come we are not supposed to see them as the enemies? In one sense we do, but not in the sense that we react towards them as the enemies. So therefore, somebody who is a preacher, somebody who is on the Madhyam level, he avoids such kind of personalities, but he doesn't get in conflict with them. That is the idea. Just recently, also some years back, actually this has been going on for many, almost we can say decades, there's been always some dispute and strife going on over book distribution in the airports in the West, especially in the United States. And devotees have many times had to go for the court case and trying to claim the rights of free speech and religious freedom to distribute the books. But once one devotee told me that if they really don't want you there, they'll do anything to, you know, stop you from doing what you're doing. So there is no way that you can remain and do devotional service, you know. So many different kinds of obstacles have been created, and also recently, unfortunately, in the LA airport, devotees have been completely forbidden to present the books in any way. So how to see all this? So we know here now also, last 2 years, how many difficulties we are facing. You know, cannot put a table on the stations anymore and stuff. So how do we view such kind of personalities? There are no friends, there are no enemies. Prahlad Maharaj said, well, you know, we would say, this is the greatest, well, I mean, I have to be careful, you know, whoever, you know, and whatever, you know. You know, who is stopping Sankirtav movement? You know, in one sense they are, sure, but on the ultimate, absolute sense, they are also, if we can see somehow that they are also the conditioned living being, which in due course of time can receive the mercy and, you know, attain their original position in relationship again with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is also there. They also deserve the mercy in some way or another. So we have to be very tactful in dealings with such kind of personality. Better, as I said, always to avoid. Better to avoid if we are not capable to create a good impression. Because many times there are many people who had very negative impressions about spiritual life altogether and sometimes devotees and everything. But just because some devotee was at some point kind to them, or maybe many devotees in the course of time have been kind to them, their hearts had melted. And then many times turn to assist and create wonderful opportunities for the devotees. That has been the case also in many instances. So, how to then again view such kind of situations? One thing is that we should never be stuck, that Krishna maybe, we should see also this as some kind of a Krishna's arrangement, that we should not be stuck in a particular paradigm or a view or a conception of certain way of presenting Krishna consciousness. Because if we have a certain scheme, if we have a certain model of distributing, let's say, books or preaching, so that doesn't mean that there are no other ways. And maybe Krishna wants us to expand that kind of awareness of maybe some other opportunities that we can utilize also for maybe even better results. That we are not just kind of confined with its own particular understanding of how to present Krishna consciousness. And this is very often the case, that whenever we face any difficulty or some kind of an obstacle, we should see it as an opportunity to grow. Like a river, when it's stopped by certain whatever, dam, barrier, whatever it is, it always looks for the something to go around, some path. It always, but it keeps on flowing. That force is there. If we have that force of enthusiasm, if we have that force of preaching, if we have that desire, there's nothing that can stop it. But we just have to find a little bit different way of presenting Krishna consciousness. And then there will be always some disturbance. There will be always some kind of demoniac personality who will create an obstacle in one way or the other. But nobody is essentially a demon forever. This is a misconception. Even in one of the sampradayas, the leading sampradayas, they think there are always demons and there are always just devotees. There's a very strict delineation. Somebody who is a demon, he's eternally a demon. He's eternally condemned. He's eternally, like Krishna said in 16th chapter, I eternally throw those kind of envious personalities in the lower species of life, over and over and over. So certain people, even throughout the world actually, it's in different traditions, there are these kind of conceptions that somebody eternally goes to hell, or is there, or is just meant to be there. They're just eternally demoniac personalities. And then that they're eternally those who are good and very pious, having divine nature. But that is not the case. This is not the philosophy that we receive here and hear from Srimad Bhagavat Purana. Demonic mentality is the mentality which is a temporary mentality, which arises due to identification here with the six enemies, real six enemies that Prahlad Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada elaborates on, is mentioning here in this verse. And these are Lobha, Krodha, Moha, Mada, Matsarya, lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion. These are real enemies. These are real enemies. So if somebody conquers those enemies, then that person is actually a liberated person. And everybody can do it. Somebody does it earlier, somebody maybe after billions of lifetimes, but it is not that conception that somebody is just condemned forever and has that kind of nature as his svabhava. There is nothing as such. So how to conquer all these different enemies? This is the whole process of the path of the devotional service. And here it is interesting, you know, that somebody who does that in 10 directions, you know, somebody who is very proud and thinks that I have conquered, you know, enemies in all the 10 directions. That just reminds me of Dasharath, who was fighting with a demon, and who, demon expanded in 10 different forms, but Dasharath was so skilled. And then can KK, you know, keep that finger in the wheel to keep the chariot functional. But Dasharath was so expert that he conquered that demon in all 10 directions at once. That's why he got received that name, Dasharath. So in similar way, when we practice devotional service, we can also advance to that level of conquering lust, anger, greed, from whichever direction they might be coming. Whichever direction they might be, up, down, left, right, wherever. Devotees are so, they should be so expert, so to say, and devotee is expert, daksha, in so many ways, but also he should be expert in not allowing himself to become agitated from any external source. So that may refer to these enemies which are there compared to the external situation, the environment. And we see our environment is surcharged. Surcharged with lust, surcharged with greed, surcharged with envy, surcharged with so many horrible illusion. It's just surcharged. But then there is something, we can conquer the whole idea, yes, we can conquer everything on the external level, but what about the internal one? That's the main thing. That is that mind. At internal level, how to conquer the mind. Even historically, in Europe it is very well known that even Alexander the Great has been told that what's the use of conquering the whole world if you don't conquer your inner urges like this. So we may conquer so many things, like Hiranyakashipu had conquered. But he didn't conquer his anger. He didn't conquer his envy towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He didn't even think that he has to conquer. That's another thing. He thought this is very nice. It should be cultivated more and more. But that's something that then Prahlad Maharaj, as there was nobody else, then Prahlad Maharaj had to teach him. Prahlad Maharaj told him. Of course, he didn't tell him in the sense that he wanted to teach him. Many times we make, as I said in the beginning, we make these mistakes. We think, of course, not so much here in India, or maybe not at all in some ways. But in the West, that's very much the case. You know, sometimes somebody who becomes a devotee, he thinks that his parents are the greatest demons. Sometimes. I know here it sounds almost inconceivable, but... But no, that's not the case. Again, we shouldn't make that big that's a very big misconception. But somebody who's like very zealous in the beginning, kind of very immature, you know, receiving such a wonderful gift of Krishna consciousness, you know, when you compare anything else to it, then it looks like that. But that's a misconception. We have to be very careful about it. So there are no demons. There are not real demons. But it is just all the, again, misconception of the mind also, that we have to be very careful. So it's not that we teach somebody and we try to change their lives and we expect everybody to be as we are. You know, it will never work. It doesn't happen. How it happens? It happens gradually. When we practice Krishna consciousness and we develop these divine qualities, we really get purify ourselves from within. And then we can emanate then that on the external level. And this is something that is then impressive to others. Then we can conquer these 10 directions externally also. So therefore, first there has to be that internal victory. Then it will have effect on others. So it's not that we go and just keep on preaching. You will find so many, so often, just like sometimes, you know, somebody who is anyway, you know, you'll find many Christians like this sometimes coming and presenting, you know, teaching, you know, like, you know, they themselves are so whatever, you know, I won't talk about it, in those particular cases. And then they try to talk about something sublime, exalted, this and that, blah, blah, blah. It just has no effect. Because their behavior is so immature. It's almost demoniac to a sense, to the sense. Like sometimes recently I went, of course that was not recent, that was some years, I remember when there was that Yamuna campaign going on, and I was distributing leaflets on the, we were going and the Harinam was going on the beach, and then some guy came, and you know, it took my half an hour really, I was so fried. I was thinking first, you know, trying to see, you know, like, okay, maybe there's some scope of, you know, okay. But, you know, and I've been just cutting him like anything. Whatever he said, it was just nonsense. But still, he was just, it's just, you can see it, and then the person has no capacity, has no brain practically to understand any logic or any instruction. And it just disturbs you even afterwards. It just disturbs your mind. It agitates you unnecessarily. And then you can't perform devotional service. So again, in the case when we preach, when we perform devotional service, again, better, rather than even instructing on trying to give a good, you know, in word and advice to somebody who just is such a demonic personality, better to avoid. Just save yourself from being agitated and save yourself from, you know, not being able to continue with your devotional service. Like we heard from Chaitanya Avatar Prabhu, how that story of parrots, you know, how Hiranyakashipu got disturbed. So that's what demons definitely get disturbed by hearing about Lord Narayan. They get so agitated. But devotees then also, you know, when they get in association with such kind of personalities, you know, who just, you know, create so much disturbance, they can also get agitated as well. So better to avoid and, you know, keep a positive spirit and blissful, clean mind so that we can present Krishna consciousness to somebody else. Why bother with such kind of personalities? Envious, demoniac personalities. Better to avoid them. It's just better to avoid them. Again, in so many cases it has happened. There was the case in Sierra Leone, where there was a great demon who was practically a terrorist, or a dictator. You know, some devotee had the idea, you know, finally devotees were doing, that was in Africa, devotees were doing food for life distribution. And somehow, you know, that person kind of became somewhat favorable, thinking, okay, it's good, you know, there is some food distribution going on, so that's something good. But then one devotee, you know, seeing that dictator was committing so many murders, committing so many horrifying, atrocious activities. So one devotee got the idea, I will write him a letter how the leader should behave. That was a big mistake. That was a big mistake. Trying to instruct the, you know, as I said, somebody who is a poisonous serpent, practically. And then what happened? Of course, this fellow sent a man and 10 devotees would shoot at a spot. Killed at a spot. So we have to be careful. In Kazakhstan also, what happened? Some devotee also gave a good advice to minister. Yeah. Anyway, minister wanted some bribe. And devotee said, you know, you're in such position, you know, how can you even mention something like this? You know, so anyway, so many things. In one sense we can say, yes, it was nice instruction, everything, but the wrong person at the wrong time. It's not, we should be very careful how we deal with such kind of personalities. And therefore the whole temple land, everything was taken, so many problems for years. So we have to be very careful how we deal with such, you know, personality. Better to avoid. Or sometimes we just can be cordial and just give them respect which they demand and stuff. We are not on the, another point, we are not on the position of Prahlad Maharaj. If we are on the position of Prahlad Maharaj, then we can tell anything to anybody. Like Prabhupada could do that. But he said, you know, to his disciples he had instructed, you're not at that position, you can't do that. You know, Prabhupada could say to scientists and this one and that one, you're rascal number one, straight in the face. But he said, you can't do that. So how do we deal with such demonic personalities? We have to be careful. Because we didn't still conquer that lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion. We didn't do that. Prabhupada Maharaj did. Srila Prabhupada did. They have conquered. So they, from internal purity, they can radiate that purity on the external environment and everybody else. Therefore it is said, somebody who is a pure devotee has no enemies. It's all mental concoction. He has no enemies whatsoever. Everybody, and you know, he's a friend, you know, even ruffians or whoever it is, they're all friendly to such kind of a devotee. Because their devotee is so pure. Like Yudhishthira Maharaj, Ajata Shatru. He had no enemies. So when we achieve that level of purity, then we can think of, you know, instructing somebody who is on that kind of position. And then that will be so purifying. Even Jagai Madai, how they got purified. And so many personalities. So we are not on that level. So better, of course, then we can say maybe we are on Madhyam. Maybe. Maybe not. Most probably not. Anyway, whatever, you know. And then, so we should discriminate. We should learn how to discriminate and stay away. Stay away from such kind of situations. But then work on ourselves. Consider that even if somebody else points to us something that we might not like, that person is not actually our enemy. We should see that person as our friend. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj said, one who flatters me, one who praises me, he is my enemy. That was the conception. So one who glorifies me and tells me everything nice and good, he is my enemy. But actually who points out to something, some mistakes, that person is my friend. Like there was a person who was always criticizing Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj for doing this and that, in this way and that way. And then when that person left the body, then devotees, wow, what a relief, you know, it's very nice, you know. But then he made that statement. Actually that person was my friend. And this is actually the mentality of the pure devotees. He sees everything positive. He sees everything as a nectar, so to say. He's not like a crow or like a fly that goes to the sower and takes dirty stuff. No, devotee's mentality is the bee's mentality. He takes good, even from the bad place. Just searches for the nectar. So somebody gives us some instruction and tells us, you know, to do something in relationship to Krishna, that's the most wonderful thing. Why should we think, oh, temple commander is telling me to do this and that, and you know, why should I do it, and he's my enemy and disturbing my other service maybe, or this and that. No, that's the wrong understanding. But sometimes, you know, there is a tendency to react. Why? Because we are still not pure, that's the whole point. So we have to purify that. Then we can come to that level of seeing whatever even apparently looks like some kind of a disturbance, an obstacle. But actually it is not. It is an opportunity to come closer to Krishna. So we shouldn't see it as something negative. We should see it as something the most wonderful, the most positive thing. And it's another way that Krishna wants to bring us closer. Like Vritrasura. Well, cursing and all these different things happened, whatever. But it was just an opportunity. Krishna wanted Chitraketu to come sooner. Back home, back to Godhead. So there are all different situations, problems, obstacles that we face in our devotional service are actually just an opportunity for us to become more quickly purified. And even though it might be coming from whichever source, we should take it as a blessing. We shouldn't take it as some, you know, some kind of disturbance. Why this disturbance? Why we consider it to be a disturbance? Because it disturbs our sense gratification. It doesn't disturb our devotional service. It disturbs our sense gratification. I wanted to enjoy something. That mentality. I wanted to enjoy something. Whatever. But now this, Krishna has sent somebody... You know, and now this has been disturbed. This person is my enemy. That's a misconception. Of course, that's very difficult. We are all struggling with that. We have to come to that level. But essentially it boils down to the same thing, to that thing itself. So therefore nobody is a friend, nobody is an enemy. Hiranyakashipu didn't have an enemy. We have to see things from the broader perspective. If we see immediately, yes, this is the perception. But that is that illusion. We see from immediate point of view. But we should see things on the long run. Devotional service, see having broader perspective. You know, seeing the end, seeing the final goal. We know, like for example, was Vishnu really Hiranyakashipu's enemy? No. But Hiranyakashipu thought that. Very much so. It's a misconception. And Prahlad Maharaj, you know, he had such a clear, pure heart. He just knew that. But Hiranyakashipu would never accept it. He would have never accepted it. And of course, there is that gradual process. Somehow, you know, by some means, even those kind of great personalities, either like in case of Hiranyakashipu, when Krishna comes personally and liberates him, or in some other ways, you know, they can get exposed to Hare Krishna Maha Mantra or Prasadam unknowingly or whatever. They will also get purified in the course of time. And they will get the blessings. They will change their, you know, serpent-like mentality. So better not to disturb the snake. Like even if you are, there is a saying, even if you are bitten by the snake, that means some poison has been injected into your veins. So if you want to kill that snake, and you rush after that snake, your pulse will increase and the poison will spread quicker throughout the body. And you'll die sooner. But if you just chill out and just, you know, forget about that snake, forget about, take care of that poison, stop that poison. Make a, you know, tire if it's on the hand or leg, tie the other part, you know, it doesn't spread. Prevent it from spreading. You know, then you can survive. But if you get bitten by materialistic personalities and we get angry because of that and we try to, you know, make a hell out of their life, what did we accomplish? Neither we helped ourselves, neither we helped them. And we've created bad impression overall. So we should be very careful about it. So better to take care and heal and get purified ourselves. So nobody is our friend. I mean, nobody is our enemy. Everybody is our friend, essentially. But, you know, it's like, but in that, from a materialistic point of view, when we understand that everybody is part and parcel of Krishna and everybody serves Krishna and Krishna appreciates everybody. So we should actually assist everybody and we should see everybody in such a way. Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmane Gavi Hatsini Shunichai Vashvapakecha Pandita Samadarshina. That is Pandita, that is Sadhu. So when Sadhu comes in form of authority and tells us something, even that may be very piercing and cutting, like a surgeon who has a double lancet, he just cuts everywhere and stuff. But he is removing the gangrene which is spreading throughout the body. He's removing the cancer. We should understand that, that's something that we have in our heart that has to be removed. It's not pleasing and immediately it's very painful, but it is the most beneficial on the long run. So this is how Prahlad Maharaj, he has very much compassion towards his father, and of course because he's so pure and innocent as a 5-year-old child, he just speaks, you know, just imagine small kid telling you straight in the face you're a demon and you know why you're doing like this, you know, what can you do, you know. Yeah. It was the most merciful way of trying to enlighten Hiranyakashipu, but as I said, it was for all of our benefit. So we should not think that we should follow in the footsteps in this way of Prahlad Maharaj and get purified and try to purify others in this process of Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Yeah.
Hare Krishna. So many so-called devotees outside, so they are doing Bhagavad Katha and they are earning money and maintaining their family. So what is their destination?
Prabhupada said these are the worst of personalities. Somebody who, of course, if they mislead, if they speak something that is absolutely unauthorized, that's even worse than somebody who is just demon on its own. But somebody who misleads others, that's worse. But of course, if somebody is preaching something, again, it's almost similar because if they're not coming in Guru Parampara, then that pure message, that real message won't flow. And people will again misunderstand and take it just as some kind of means and justification for sense enjoyment. So again, in the same way, you know, they'll, instead of really utilizing this opportunity of hearing something beneficial, but misunderstanding it, you know, that person gets very severe reactions. And all the acharyas point to that, that these are, you know, they are practically demonic personalities.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji, for the nice class. I have a little doubt that, as you said, that there are eternally some kinds of demons. Some people are eternally demons and some are eternally god, demigods. So, is there any way that they will get liberated? Those demons will get liberated?
I was talking that there is a way that they can get liberated. I said that's a misconception that some, even devotees have. I said that's a misconception. It is not that as somebody considers it as such. That's a misconception.
They are not eternally a demon.
No, nobody is eternally anything except Dasa Dasa Anudasaha. Gopi Bhartu Pada Kamala. You know.
Thank you.
Yeah, Hare Krishna. Okay, so we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.